You're listening to a message from the audio library of the Oak Park Church, 1920 Chester Boulevard in Richmond, Indiana. Phone number, area code 765-962-3693. Now here's today's message.
Bibles, if you would turn with me to the book of James, chapter 5, verse 16, just a portion of the scripture. All of us can quote it. Be effectual. Fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. My title today is God is looking for someone to stand in his way. Longer title than normal today. God is looking for someone to stand in his way. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, I ask you to anoint us today. We know that there is power in prayer. We know that you have given it to us as a tool, as a weapon. As something that can shake heaven and move earth. Lord, I ask you to help us, Jesus. Lord, to pick up this tool, pick up this weapon, and use it for the kingdom. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said amen. You may be seated. On New Year's Eve, if you were here, some of you may not have been because of the holiday, but I had a message and it was just getting back to the basics. Getting back to basics. And I believe this year, 2007, of course, is going to be the greatest year that we've had. We've already said that numerous times. But because of our fervency and because of our willingness to go back to the basics. You know, I love programs and I love all of the organization that we can do. And I'm all for that. I'm trying to organize my thoughts even now. But I believe that we should organize and we should schedule and we should try to have all the programs that we can. But if we do not have power, the programs are not going to be effective. If we do not have anointing, there is no breaking of the yoke. If we do not have the glory of God in our services, there will be no deliverance because where His Spirit is, there is liberty. And so we must have the power. We must have the anointing. We must have His glory descending in us because if not, then we are just gathering together and you're hearing someone lift his voice into a microphone and you're hearing someone play a piano and play the drums and just going through the motions and it's just an entertainment source. It's just a social source. But I'm telling you today that the Church of the Living God is more than just a social organization. It's more than just an entertainment place. But it is a place of power. It is a place of anointing. It is a place of glory. And we must keep it that way by going back to the basics. And the first thing that we went back to was prayer. Without prayer, the church is powerless. Without prayer, we are anemic and weak. We have no ability to overcome the enemy. We have no ability to affect our world. We have nothing to give when the hungry comes through our door. They will starve in our midst if we do not have prayer. We must preach. We must pray. We must fast. We must worship. And we must have the Word of God. I'm telling you today that we are going back to the basics in 2007, and God is looking for a church that will stand in His way and say, hey Lord, just hold off a little while. I want you to touch my world. I want you to touch my city. I need you to touch my family. I need you to touch my wife. I need you to touch my husband. I'm not ready for for you to come yet, Lord. I'm going to stand in your way. Because there is such a great work to be done. I'm so thankful for Brother Quentin today. He was right in vain in the spirit talking about reaching our world. We've got to have a burden. But you know where a burden for our world comes? It comes through prayer. Because when we begin to pray, we are in communion with God. And His heartbeat, His whole personality, His whole desire, everything that He is about is about relationship with you and relationship with me. And beyond that, relationship with every lost soul in this world. He desires to touch them. He does not want any to perish. So that when we get in communion with Him, when we pray and we allow Him to speak to us and we allow Him to give us the burden that He has, and we receive it. It is the same burden that took Him up the side of the hill. It's the same burden that allowed Him to lay Himself down on the cross. It's the same burden that allowed Him to be nailed to the tree through His hands and through His feet. That's the burden. That's the burden that will be found in prayer. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and there He prayed until His sweat became great drops of blood, the Bible says. He was fervently praying. But then He came back to His disciples and He saw them sleeping. And He rebuked them and said, "Hey, can't you tarry with me just 1 hour? Can't you pray with me just a little while?" What was He trying to tell them? He was trying to let them know that in the hour when something's really going to happen, when the world is really going to change, when everything is going to move from all of its foundation, it's the place and it's the time that the church gets a hold of prayer. He was just about to go to Calvary. He was just about to lay it all down. But the foundation of it all was found in the garden, in a place of prayer, where He laid it all on the line, where He gave up His will. And He said, "Hey, I will let you take whatever you want. I will drink of the cup. I will do it." He was giving us an example that when we want to save our world, we've got to find a place in prayer that we can crucify this old flesh. And we can say, "Oh God, it doesn't matter what I want. It doesn't matter what kind of ambition I have. It doesn't matter what kind of relationships I have in this world. Oh, but I've got to have one right, and I want to give myself completely to you." God is looking for someone to stand in His way. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Effectual, in the dictionary, says producing or capable of producing an intended effect. So that means prayer is effectual. Prayer is able. Prayer has the potential. It is capable of doing what you are setting out to do with it. The Bible says if you have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can say unto this mountain, "Be moved and cast into the sea," and it will happen. That is the power of prayer. Prayer is effectual. Prayer can be made over someone that has cancer and the cancerous cells be gone. I'm telling you, prayer can be laid over those that are blind and their eyes will be open. It can be prayed over those that are lame and they will come up walking. I'm telling you, that's the power of prayer. God is able to do everything more, greater than we can ask or think. It is effectual. It is effective. Don't you think that in this world, if you could find something that was always effective, if you could find some principle or some agent, some chemical that was always effective, You would be a billionaire. There's no telling how much money you would have if you could find something that was always effective, if it always did what you said it would do, it would be upon every billboard, it would be in every commercial, it would be, the people be lined up to get it because they love things that really do what they say they will do. And today, on every billboard, and upon every heart, and upon every life, especially the apostolics, as we live an apostolic life, as the Bible did, as the apostles did, we must have in our life a billboard that says prayer is effective. And the only way that we can have that is by practicing it. Prayer is work. Prayer is work. Prayer is work. My flesh doesn't like to pray. My flesh can think of a million other things it would rather do. You know how hard prayer is? You get down to pray, and you'll start thinking about mowing the yard. I don't like to mow the yard. You get down to pray, and you'll think about, ladies, you'll think about washing the dishes or cleaning the house. It's hard work. But it takes discipline. And when it is done properly, there is nothing that can affect it. Because it is effectual. It is capable of producing everything that it is said to produce. And prayer produces relationship. Relationship produces anointing. And anointing produces power that is able to break every yoke. The second part of this scripture says the effectual, fervent prayer. I believe in prayer. But there are some of us that we have learned to pray formally. Now I lay me down to sleep. Pray, my Lord, my soul to keep. It's a prayer. But it's not a fervent prayer. Fervent means having or showing great warmth or intensity of spirit. Feeling, enthusiasm, ardent, a fervent admirer, a fervent plea are some of the examples. And then the second part of this definition says hot, burning, glowing. Where are the saints of God? Where are the prayer warriors? I'm not talking about just kneeling down for 5 minutes and going through the motions. Lord, bless my home. And that's great. I believe we should do that. Bless this. Answer this prayer. Lord, touch Aunt so-and-so and Uncle Joe. And, you know, just... And that's prayer. And I believe we should do that. But I'm talking about a fervent prayer. I'm talking about something that gets down. Way down deep in your soul and in your spirit. That comes from somewhere. It is the kind of prayer that can shake heaven and move earth. It is the kind of prayer that will keep you through the darkest hour. It is the kind of prayer that creates a relationship that no one or no thing can move you. You cannot be offended when you have a fervent prayer life. You can't be moved by someone's comments or someone's lack of comments or someone's looks. I'm telling you today, if you have a fervent prayer life, there's nothing that can change you. There's nothing that can move you, because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman cannot be moved. It availeth much. It availeth much. Availeth is a verb. It says to be used, have force or efficiency, to serve, to help. An example is his strength did avail against the hostile onslaught. I'm telling you that a church that is willing to pray is a church that cannot be stopped. It is a church that cannot be stopped. Prayer changes things. You've come too late to tell me that prayer cannot bring healing, because I've already been healed. You've come too late that prayer cannot give you direction because you've come too late because I've already received direction through prayer. You've come too late to tell me that prayer cannot deliver you from things that bind you because I've already been delivered. I'm telling you today that prayer is something so powerful. It is something that can move heaven. It is something that can shake earth. It's something that can touch the lost. It's something that can change your home. It is something that can bring peace to the worst situation. It is something that can bring power to a weakness. It's something that can change the world if we will allow it to. Prayer. Effectual. Fervent. It avails much. Luke 11:1. And it came to pass that as he was praying at a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us. As John also taught his disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. And then he said in Matthew 6:9, after this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Now he didn't say to pray those exact words. He said pray in this manner. And what did this mean? He first of all, he says, Our Father which art in heaven. We're recognizing God's authority and God's power. And then it says, Hallowed be thy name. We begin to worship him. You're holy. Hallowed be your name. There's no other name as high as that name. There's no other name as great as that name. We worship him. We recognize who he is. We worship him. And then we surrender to him. The next thing, he says, Thy kingdom come. Lord, let your authority, let your power, let your sovereignty, let it come into my life. That's what you're saying. And it says, Thy will be done. Not mine. Not my ambition. Not my direction. Not my place, Lord, but yours. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, he says, let there be, and there is. I want that on earth. Let there be, and there is. Could we just lift our hands right now? The power of God is so strong in this place. Hallelujah. He is confirming His Word today. He's confirming it with His Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Then the next part says, Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, give us what I need. Then forgive me my debts in the same way that I forgive my debtors. That's a powerful statement. That means that if you don't forgive those that are in debt to you, either emotionally, physically, financially, whatever they've done to you, then you will be forgiven the same amount as you forgive them. I'm talking about prayer today. And it says, And lead us not in temptation. Lord, I want you to direct my footsteps. I want you to guide me into the right places. Lord, don't allow me to fall into a temptation that I would be lost. It says, But deliver us from evil. keep me from the evil of this world. And then it just confirms him, for thine is the kingdom. It's all yours. You're the king. You sit on the throne, not me. You have the power. All the glory is yours. All the credit is yours. All the praise is yours. And then it says forever. Amen. Lord, teach us to pray. It's time for the church to pray like never before. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. 1 Timothy 2:8 says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Men, I love you dearly, but we need to be prayers. You know, sometimes we leave this part or this duty to our wives, and they move into a prayer life sometimes easier than we do because of just their makeup, just the way that they're built. But we have to discipline ourselves and move ourselves into a prayer life. Can I get some men saying amen? Because you need to be the strength of your home. That's another sermon for another day. But we must pray. Women and men alike, we must pray. God is looking for someone to stand in His way. Genesis 18:16. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his house after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now, he's telling Abraham, and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near. He was not afraid of the Lord because he had been in this place before. He had a prayer life. And said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? What an answer, what a question. And then he says, peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. He's beginning to intercede for Sodom and Gomorrah, a sinful place, but he's interceding for it. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and he that is righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He's praying. He's interceding right now. And the Lord said, okay, Abraham, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Then Abraham answered and said, he's still standing before the Lord. He said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which I am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. He's taking it to another level. Wilt thou destroy all the city for a lack of 5? And he said, if I find 45, I will not destroy it. He said, well, it's going good so far. I'm going to press on in. And he spake unto him yet again, and he said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall be 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak of the Lord, peradventure there shall be 20 found there. He's praying now. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way. And as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, Abraham returned unto his place. Abraham stood in the way of the Lord. And he said, hey God, if there's 50, will you not destroy it? If there's 45, if there's 40, if there's 30, 20, 10. He was pressing in. He was standing in the place of God. God was willing and ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah no matter what. But because of Abraham's prayer life, because of the power that he took in his hands, he stood between God and what God was going to do. And he changed God's direction. That's the power of prayer. We have the ability to move into that place today. Our world has already received a death sentence. Our world has already received its direction. It's going to hell. But in the midst of that stands the church. And between two eternities, the church stands between heaven and hell. And we are here to touch the throne of God. There's one place in Isaiah that it says, Lord, stir up your people that we may stir you up. I'm telling you, that's what prayer is all about. I believe the Lord is stirring up the people today. He's stirring up your heart. He's stirring up your life. Why? So that you can reach Him and you can say, wait a minute. I want you to touch my city. I want you to touch my neighbor. I want you to touch my family. I'm telling you, He's looking for somebody to stand in His way today. He's looking for somebody that's willing to pray until something happens. He's looking for somebody that will get a hold of the horns of the altar and say, hey, I'm not going to let go until something moves, until something changes, until my life is moved. That's where a burden is found. He's looking for someone that will stand between Him and eternity. Eternity's coming quickly. The signs of it are in every headline, every news blurb that comes across. It's coming. I saw a headline yesterday on the Drudge Report that says, Israel has drawn up plans to bring a nuclear attack upon Iran. It's coming. It's coming. But oh, as the church of the living God, as Oak Park Church, sitting at 1920 Chester Boulevard, I'm not ready to let my city go. I'm not ready to let our families go. Can somebody pray with me right now? I'm not ready to let them go. I got a brother in California. I'm not ready to let him go. I got a sister in Dallas. I'm not ready to let her go. Oh, God. If you can, just wait a few more minutes. A few more days. Hold it off a little while, Lord. We've got some things to do. We've got some people to reach. We've got some prayers to pray. We've got some services. We've got some powerful moves of God still in our future. Wait a little while, Lord. He's looking for a church that's willing to stand in His way. Hallelujah. Oh, can someone bow their heads today and let's begin to pray. I need some intercessors today. I need some prayer warriors today. Oh, hallelujah. This altar's open if you want to pray. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I don't want any music for a little while. Let's just pray. Oh, God. Let me realize. Let me go back to prayer. Oh,
you've been listening to a message from the audio library of the Oak Park Church, 1920 Chester Boulevard in Richmond, Indiana. For more information concerning other messages in our audio library or for service times, please feel free to give us a call at area code 765-962-3693. That's area code 765-962-3693.